May be seated. Oh, it's so good to be back with you guys. We missed you all so, so very much. It's never the same. Even when we go on vacation and go to other churches, it's never the same. We are so blessed because of you and because of what God, you're allowing God to do through you and through this church as a body. So it is so honor. And I just say thank you to everyone who stepped up and did so much. Couldn't ask for more. And for Vicky and Jacob for sharing in the word. Thank you. It was awesome. And just so many great testimonies we've heard and received. But right now, let's give God glory for his word. Would you stand with me? And just raise your Bibles. And children are free to go to children's church right now. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's been about a few weeks now, but we started a series called Marks of a Healthy Church. We did part one before you were rudely interrupted by my vacation. And when we talked about in the first part is, we're talking about the Church of Acts, going back to basics. The church in the book of Acts flourished because God's presence was upon it, his power was flowing in it, and they were like children. Jesus said, have childlike faith and the children are welcome. They were like children because they were just receiving from their heavenly Father and loving it. Their minds, their attitudes, their hearts weren't caught up with some of the religious tradition, church bureaucracy that a lot of us deal with nowadays. Now, yes, a lot of the Jewish Christians struggled with some of the things of the Old Testament that they were told up to this point they weren't supposed to do or they were supposed to do. And there needed to be a balance in that. But the fact that the church grew like that in a heartbeat, because they were hungry for the things of God. And they loved what God was doing. And we talked about 2 weeks ago, the first two marks were repented hearts, that they were just repented. They changed their mind. They made the choice, because that's what repentance means, to change your mind. They made the choice to choose Jesus over everything else. And the second thing is they worshiped together. There was such a strong and powerful focus on worship. Everything they did, they worshiped. Okay, there was nothing, no gathering of two or more that took place where there wasn't some kind of worship taking place. Even when they had lunch or breakfast or dinner, they were worshiping. They were hungry for the things of God, and he was pouring out to them. And you can listen to those in more detail on the church website. So today I want to talk about the third mark. They were baptized in the Spirit. Healthy church, a mark of a healthy church, is a church where the Spirit of God has room to flow and flourish in each individual and in what goes on in the church as a body. They were filled with the Spirit. Why is this important? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is freedom. So what happens when God's Spirit shows up? What happened when God's Spirit showed up this morning? We became free in areas that we did not have freedom in before. all of a sudden, now these wonderful human beings, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, brothers and sisters, grandparents, aunts and uncles, were receiving freedom and the joy that comes with being free that they have never felt before. They were released to be what they were meant to be. And see, in Mark 16:17, Jesus talked about how he preached the gospel and signs and wonders followed him because the Spirit of God was flowing through him. Okay? And that's how we're supposed to be. In a healthy church, what happens? We're not just preaching the word, but we're allowing the word to do his work in us. We're allowing that Spirit to flow through us. See, what one thing I love about our church, and most of you know, I came from a very conservative Southern Baptist background. And you know what? I love that. I thank God for that. You know why? Because Southern Baptists are so much about the Word of God. The Word of God. And I'm so grateful to have that, because now that that God is balancing me out with the Spirit of God, with the charisma, with the gifts of the Spirit, and with things of the Spirit, we can now have such a good balance between Word and Spirit, where one is not emphasized over the other, because everything flows together. Just like the gifts of the Spirit must go hand in hand with the fruit of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit must go hand in hand with the Word of God. Okay? That's what Jesus did. Jesus never did anything apart from what God spoke, what God established. He came to fulfill the Old Testament, right? That's what he said. I'm not here to do something brand new. I'm here to fulfill the Old Testament. Spirit and Word, perfect combination together. And that's the way a healthy church should be. And what happened? We read in Acts 2:43. The fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Holy Spirit was free to move. Many signs and wonders were just flowing through the apostles. People were being healed. That's what that means. People were being cured. Arms were growing back. You know, broken legs were being mended. Mental disorders were being healed. Heart wounds were being healed. Holy Spirit was just flowing. Signs, wonders were taking place. All of a sudden, things were happening that weren't there before. Miraculous situations were happening. You know, it was funny. On this vacation, when we flew to Texas, and we flew Thursday night, so it was a late night flight, and we were tired and exhausted. On the second leg of the flight, first leg, we were in a seat with three seats, and we had somebody sitting next to us. So I prayed in between flights. I asked the Holy Spirit that everyone who walks on this plane will see an angel sitting on that third seat, so we can have a third seat where the baby can lay down and relax. And you know what I noticed? People walking, they would look at us and look away as if this row is full. Look again, one by one, they just kept passing by and filling up the seats behind us. And I just was saying, Lord, thank you. I believe you just did something here. You put an angel so that my daughter can rest, can stretch out on a seat. You made a way where it didn't look like there was a way. Just a little thing, but you know what? I'm thankful for it, because it's just, I know in my heart, this was God doing a wonder, a sign, a miracle thing. How much more was God doing there? How much more is God doing here, right now, with us? And he wants to do more. The Holy Spirit was free to move. Now, in the New King James, it says, then fear came upon every soul. But as I've said many times, when we read the word fear in the Bible, that talks about being awestruck. That's reverent fear. That's being in the presence of royalty and being just like, I can't believe I'm here right now. Imagine meeting the person who's your hero, somebody you've admired and have always wanted to meet. You know, your jaw's hitting the ground. You're going, oh, my goodness. I can't believe I'm right here. I'm right here right now. And just to show you, I don't have to go through every one, but just listed the same verse in different versions of the Bible. And the word for fear here, in New International Version, everyone was filled with awe. New Living, a deep sense of awe. English Standard, an awe came upon every soul. Berean Study Bible, a sense of awe came over everyone. Berean Literal Bible, an awe was coming upon every soul. New American Standard, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. They were just awestruck at what God was doing. See, what's so cool about God is he loves to do these things when we create the space. A few weeks ago, I shared, you know, our job as a church is to create space for the Spirit of God to have freedom to minister. That's our job when we gather together. It's not our agenda. It's what he wants to do. We say, Lord, we say, Dad, we say, Papa, we say, Father. We say, King of Kings, Majesty, what is your heart for us? And then leave room for you to move. And these are the things that God wants to do. And they were in awe. Why? Because this was all new to them. And we're still in awe at everything God does. But you know what I'm praying for? The day when the supernatural becomes so natural that we never lose our sense of awe, but we raise our sense of expectation. Say that again. The supernatural becomes natural that we never lose our sense of awe, but we raise our expectations of what God wants to do. That's what we need to be hungry for. That as we stay true and grounded to his word, we let his spirit flow and minister and touch every person. See, going back to so our values as a church, one of them is overcoming love. How do you think love overcomes? Love's overcome because of what Jesus did. And the same spirit that lives in Jesus lives in us. So we have the capacity, the ability, the potential, the capability to overcome in his love and restore in his love. That's how we overcome. We stand on his word, stay true to his promises, and declare, just like I said, the name of Jesus over. And we have the power to overcome, not because of us, but because of him in us. And that's what was happening in that church. Everything was just coming from heaven and flowing out. And you saw that freedom was there. The Holy Spirit was there. There was an expectancy for God to move and show up. If you knew that every single time we meet on Sunday morning, that miracles, signs, wonders, arms are going to grow back, if you knew those things were going to happen as we worship, you'd be here and you'd be bringing people with you, right? Are we expecting that? Or are we waiting for that time to expect it? Let's change the way we think. As a church, I believe that we have the same potential to achieve exactly what the New Testament church achieved. God hasn't changed. His spirit hasn't changed. The work of his spirit hasn't changed. His word hasn't changed. Why has our expectation been lowered? That's that's what's changed. We want to move from a good service to a place where God is moving, to a place where God is touching lives, where Jesus is changing lives, where the Holy Spirit is empowering lives, where we're seeing the same things. But a lot of it has to do with our own expectation. And that comes with our own worship. See, part of this awe that we just read about is there's an element of worship within it. It's hero worship in a way, but in a godly way. When you're in awe of the person you've been waiting to see, you've been wanting to see, your hero, there's an element of you worshiping them. How much more should it be with God? He's showing up. I was in the balcony up there, and I felt his presence show up in this place. During the second song, there was a breaking. I felt that breaking come forth. And he showed up, and God was beginning to move. We need to not be distracted. We need to be focused, and we need to be expecting. When I sit at this pew, when anyone comes and sits in these pew or sits in someone's home where we are worshiping God, that same expectation should be there. That same level of expectancy should be there. Because from reading Scripture, things were happening at mealtimes, at every gathering. Why would they gather? Because they're best friends? No. They were gathering because God was doing something in their midst. He was showing up. And we're going to read in a second a little bit more about how that worked. But he was showing up wherever they were. And things were taking place. And they wanted to be there. Nobody wanted to miss out on what God was doing. It was awesome. Because they were expecting something to happen, to break out, to break through every time they were together. So I want to just release something over you right now. I want to pray over you right now. Would you just put yourself in the receiving position? Holy Spirit, would you just come and raise our expectations? Raise our expectancy. That when we come together, whether it's a Sunday morning or any other time during the week, whether it's 2 or 200, that we would expect when we do things your way that you show up and you heal, that you move, you restore, you speak truth, you build, you strengthen, you edify. Yes, Lord. That we would have that expectation, and may that expectation excite us, that we would just encourage others, hey, come and see what God is doing. Come and see what God's doing, and come ready to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Because I really believe if we start changing, moving from the mindset of I need to go to church because that's what I'm supposed to do Sunday morning, or Bible study because that's what I'm supposed to do, to I'm going expecting something awesome to happen. Whether it's for me directly or through me for someone around me. Because it's just as much fun when God moves through me as much as he moves in me. Amen? All right, fourth mark of a healthy church. There was a unity of the believers. Been saying for a while, when we are in one accord, great things happen. When we are together as one, amazing things happen. That's when God breaks out. When we are in one accord with him, that's what happened in the upper room with 120. And that's when the world started to change. That's what will change here in this community when we are in one accord. Let's read Acts 2, 44 and 47 through 47. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord. So we already hear, now all believed were together. They all had things in common. They were in one accord daily in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, imagine this for a second. If we're together, and we are coming together with that expectancy, and God is moving the way he's moving, and we're coming together with joy. And what do I mean by that? Let's be honest. You don't have to raise your hand. But how many of you find it very challenging to get up to come to church in the morning, or to go to a Bible study, or to go to a gathering, especially if you have kids? I'm sure if your kids are screaming and not doing what they're supposed to do, your sense of joy is not quite there in those moments, is it? But when you get excited and you maintain that, what would happen? How awesome would it be when we continue to grow together as a body and have all things in common, moving in one accord, ministering to one another? And what that's referring to is, we are all recognizing that we are priests in this room. That means you have something that you can give to me that I need. Has nothing to do with title or position. It has to do with God in you. A 10-year-old can minister to me. That's what it means when they have it in common and working together and staying in one accord and breaking bread and loving the fellowship together, and they're coming with simplicity of hearts. What is simplicity of heart? That's a childlike faith. That's what says, God, I can believe you can do whatever you want to do. Let's see what happens. I have no agenda. I have no presupposed thoughts. I'm just coming and expecting you to move. I might have things I may need to lay down before you, but that's what I'm going to do and let you do the rest. I'm going to expect some awesome things because that's who you are. You're an awesome God. And they praise God and having favor with all the people, and God added. Now, if our attitude were to move in that direction as a church and we get excited, see, people feed off of people's excitement. If I, all of a sudden, I'm not interested in any TV show, but I hear two or three people talking about how amazing this show is. Oh, you got to watch this. It's such a good show. It's got all these incredible drama and subplots and things going on. That's going to instill something in me, at the very least, a curiosity to know what they're talking about. Let's apply it to the church as a mark of a church, of our church. If we're excited about what God's doing, we love the action that's taking place. We love the score that's applied to it, the music, the worship. Not because the music is perfect, but because the music reflects the worship of the heart as we worship Him. But you love what's taking place, in lack of a better word, the drama in a good way that takes place in the body, at the very least, it's going to incur curiosity. Let me check it out. And we've been asking, and my wife has been, and Jenny have been announcing it, you know, a quick way to do that, easy way to do that, share our Facebook page with your Facebook friends. as they see what's going on. It gives curiosity. I know churches that I follow their page. When I see stuff going on, I go, wow, that's interesting. I'm interested about this. That's what you do because we're curious in nature. But how much more when God is at hand, he's working. So what's going on here? Well, they had a common purpose and a goal. God was moving, and they were going to move with him, not their own agenda. They were moving with him. Why? Because they didn't know what they were doing. There was no bylaws. There was no church constitution. There was no denominational order of how things should be done. They were coming together, worshiping and letting God lead. So what was their common purpose and goal? Let's worship God and get together and let God lead. That was their manifesto. Give him space, and I'm just going to give him my heart. That's it. And see what happens. Let's come together and let God move. They also recognize the importance of each and every person. Look at this. Together they had all things in common and divided them among all. So no one had a need. Nobody was left without. They broke bread together. Nobody was not invited. And they praised God and they had favor with the people. They recognized the importance of every single person, not their financial status, not their looks, not their talent. It's every single person was precious to God because Jesus died for them as much as he died for you. And he gave them the opportunity to receive his spirit and all that comes with it, with him, I should say, as he did me and you. Everyone was precious and important. Everyone was also involved in this. Everyone. This was not a burden on just a few people. They were going from home to home meeting. My family, being Arabs, one of the struggles they have during holidays, at least it used to be when the aunts were younger and more energetic, whose house are we having this at? Because every aunt wanted it to be at their house. And I have six aunts. So when we'd go to Ohio, where four of my aunts were living at that time, we had Thanksgiving. Then we had a completely different meal Friday. Then we had a completely different meal Saturday. Then we had a completely different meal Sunday. And we'd all look at each other and go, what are we going to do with all this extra food? But it wasn't on one person to have a meal every day. It was on one person doing all. Churches burn out. Ministries burn out. People burn out when it's always on somebody. Our purpose and vision as a church is to equip the saints for the work of the kingdom. Why? Because one person can't do it all. One person can't lead a ministry, and our job is to train. Our job is to build, to define, to establish, to create space for God to grow what he wants to grow, who he wants to grow. So everyone can have a place and be involved. It's not about the one person. It's about everybody being one body in one accord. It didn't say in the when they were up in the upper room that, well, Peter and John were in one accord, and then the Holy Spirit fell. Didn't say when the 12 disciples were in one accord, the Holy Spirit fell. Said when they were all in one accord, the Holy Spirit fell. It's on all of us being one before God. And this is awesome. They were doing it right. And I don't know if you caught this, but in verse 47, praising God, so they're worshiping, and having favor with all people. I bet you most of us who read that won't even think anything more than, oh, they all got along as Christians. That's not what this says. All people means people also outside the church. God's blessing on what was going on with them went outside the church walls. They were having favor with government officials. Yeah, with that one too. But with the neighborhoods. Because let me tell you, when all of a sudden, you know, 100 people show up at somebody's house constantly, something's going on here. Neighbors are going to wonder what's going on, and you never know. You can have some unruly kind. But you know what? His blessing was on there. His blessing was with them, and they had favor. Things happen. And somehow they were able to find meeting places. I mean, think about it. Bring it back to our day today. What would it look like for us? Favor would be me going, or somebody here in the church, going to request something from the government of this town or community to do something and say, yeah, here. And you know what? We'll waive the charge. That's what it would look like. Favor would be being able to gather and the neighbor say, hey, you want an extra table? I have a table you can borrow. Favor would be being welcomed to being involved. Being say, hey, would you come and lead prayer before the council meeting? Would you come and talk to us about what's going on with you guys? This is what you need. How can we help you? Just ask. You need paint for your walls? Well, we'll give it to you at our price. Or we'll donate it as a charitable gift. Here's a key to a building. I'm going to give it to you. That's what it would look like today. When we do things God's way, with that simplicity of faith in worship, and with that expectation of anything can happen, that's when you get keys dropped in front of you to buildings. Or you got bills to pay and you're out of money and all of a sudden there's a check in the mail. Or somebody says, hey, I just feel led to give you this. I just want to give you this. That's his favor that's upon them. And no one lacked. And this is what's cool to me. No one lacked. If you thought favor was good, this is even better. What was given away was returned in blessing. Think about it. They sold everything, yet they didn't lack. They were pouring in to what was going on. They were ministering to each other. Nobody complained, well, you know, I had to cook for 100 people, but you only had to cook for 20. Nobody complained about it. Now, there were complaints later on, but those were different issues, and we'll get to that. Everyone had. No one lacked. They were treated equally with respect and honor, and their needs were being met. See, this is called family. Another one of our values. We're about family. As a family, you're not going to let your son, daughter go without. You come together, and you're there to nurture one another. Nobody was lacked. And I love the fact that what was given away was constantly returned. See, thing with God, he pours out. We let him, what he pours out, flow out. But we are never empty because he keeps pouring back in. He keeps replenishing over and over and over again. That's what God does. Kingdom of heaven is about receiving. Everything about the kingdom is received. Nothing is taken. I can't take anything from God, but he freely gives it. I am willing to receive it. And as we, in prayer, we talked a little about this. As we receive, we give it away. But as we give it away, God gives more. That's the principle of sowing and reaping that is with God. As we sow into things, God pours out more for us to be able to sow into things. For those of you that might be struggling with tithing, when you are faithful and flow out, allow it to flow out of you, what God has already given you in your monies, He will replenish it. He will bless it. He will make it work. For those who are sowing into the building fund or missions, He will bless that. He will make a way. You will not go without. We're not saying to do this foolishly, but you do it with a worshipful heart. And when you do it with a worshipful heart, you do it in faith and with leading and prompting of the Holy Spirit. So you're not throwing darts in the wind. You're doing it with a heart of worship. That's the key to this. When you give your time, God gives you the energy to do it. I think I've shared this before, but one thing I've learned regarding the schemes of the enemy, if I'm scheduled to meet with somebody, say 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night or Thursday night, it never ceases to stop. At about 6 o'clock, I'm going to get extremely exhausted or start feeling sick. What I learned is every time I do that, it's because God poured something into me that I'm supposed to pour into this person, and the enemy's trying to prevent it. Once I finally woke up to that, that stronghold was broken. Because now I'm prepared. I already know how the enemy attacks. So now I'm praying all day for it, and I'm praying all day to come against it. So it's not like it used to be. Because I would feel so exhausted, but I would still go do it in faith. But then all of a sudden, all this energy comes back. And I feel well after it's done. Because what I poured out, God poured back in. God replenished. This is His principle of sowing and reaping. It happens spiritually, happens emotionally, it happens in our actions, it happens with our resources. They did not go without. They were generous. And we're going to read one more thing. Acts 4:32-37. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart, again, being in one accord, and one soul. Remember, soul is your mind, your will, and emotions. They were lined up. Their thoughts were, okay, this is where we're going. We have God's vision. We're moving in it. Our emotions, we're excited. Our expectations and their will. I'm pressing into this. We're coming to do this. We're expecting God to do this. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. They just let it go. They trusted God to do what God does. But they all had everything in common. That's like the sixth or seventh time talked about unity and commonality. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So the apostles preached Jesus continually, and out of that, grace was upon the preaching of Jesus. And they had great power. All comes back to Jesus. This evangelism course, all we're about doing is sharing the love of Jesus. And as opportunities happen, we'll preach Jesus. And let Jesus do the work. Not my job to save anybody. My job is to preach Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Why? Because they preached Jesus. They stayed true to His word. They stayed true to who God was, to His heart, to the vision God had for them. They didn't sway, they didn't swerve, they stayed true to it. Didn't matter if there was the 120 or now 5,000 and later on another 3,000. They still preached Jesus with simplicity of heart, and his grace continued to rest upon them. And grace involves his Spirit, his favor, his gifts, because the gifts of the Spirit are called grace gifts. So it encompasses it all. God was working through it all as they preached the Son of God, Jesus. Nor was there any among them who lacked again. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. We know Barnabas from Paul and Barnabas. A rich man who had lots of money said, you know what? This is even better. He sold it and gave it so everyone benefited. God's favor was on them and he blessed them with it all. But the key to this unity of the believers is there was a spirit of generosity that was on this church. And that generosity did not just involve finances. It involved everything. It involved the way they thought. It involved the way they acted, the way they felt, and what they released. That's what that generosity, it was a generous spirit. And within that, it's recognizing that what I pour out, God's going to pour in. What I lay before the Lord, God's going to bless and restore. I will not go without because God is with me. His name is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. So remember, the third mark, I talked about freedom in the Spirit. Well, freedom in the Spirit allows us to be free from the fear of going without, of being left alone, of not having enough. Freedom in the Spirit releases us to be generous and to trust God. Freedom in the Spirit allows us to take steps of faith. Again, this is not a shot in the dark. This is an act of worship. Steps of faith that will open the doors to heaven to do more, to pour more out. So they were generous in their finances. They just gave it all to the church. They were generous with each other, opening their homes up to each other. They're generous with their time for one another. They were generous with what they had, whether it's gifts, abilities, talents to use. And what we'll see as we continue this series is how some didn't think they had anything, such as Barnabas, who just said, hey, I have property, I'll sell it, I'll give you the money and be part of this congregation. Next thing you know, he's preaching all over the world with Paul. God honors those who honor him. God blesses generous hearts who are not constricted by fear and insecurity, and nobody in this church, and jealousy. Because somebody who's rich could have said, well, I'm doing this and you're only doing that. I'm, you know, given $1,000, you only gave $5. I should deserve more. There was none of that. There was none of that. It was, hey, look what God is doing. Isn't this awesome? I just want to be a part of it, and I want you to join me in it. His favor was on them. His favor was on them. Would you stand with me right now? I just want to release something over you, then I'm going to ask Maureen to close the service. Just put yourself in that receiving position. Holy Spirit, we just release in the name of Jesus a spirit of generosity on everyone in this church right now and anyone who will hear this message via Facebook or website, that they will be touched by what you are doing. That, Lord God, areas in our lives that we have been fearing to release to you, that generous spirit would just release it. And we would trust you with it right now. In Jesus' name, I just bless everyone right now with that generous spirit, that giving spirit of heart, of finances, of everything, with the bottom line being, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and a sound mind. In the name of Jesus.
In a moment, we're going to release into our groups, but the Lord did give me a little bit of something, and I know I have to read it because otherwise I forget. Sorry, guys. When we were in prayer this morning, Pastor Mike, and he told you guys, he saw the heart with the opening, and what God said was, let the cross penetrate. It can get down to the deepest parts of our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotion. And it can release the grip that prohibits our spirits from soaring and taking its rightful position as the leader and guide as we are led by the Holy Spirit. So as Pastor Mike saw our hearts being open to him, to the Lord, and having these pieces exposed, the Lord said he was healing, cleansing, liberating, freeing. He said, let the cross do what the cross was meant to do, to set you free from sin, but it also allows our spirits to be reestablished in the position as God had originally created it to be. He said, let us be spirit-led, spirit-obedient, and spirit-focused. So as we gather together in our groups, I want you to think about what part the Lord wants to open up in you, what part he wants to expose, that he wants to heal, that he wants to cleanse, that he wants to purify, what we need to give him so that our mind, will, and our emotion is literally led by his spirit, and that we can follow his spirit and be spirit-led children of God. So you guys are free to get into groups of about 3 or 4, and let's see what God does.